the mistake. Though Yazid was gleeful at having avenged his pagan forefathers by killing Imam Hussein, it began to dawn upon him that his political standing had been gravely compromised. Suyuti writes, "After al-Hussein and his father's progeny were massacred, at first Yazid became very happy, but when he realized that the Muslims had started to regard him as their enemy and had begun to hate him with all their hearts for what he had done, Yazid showed superficial remorse and regret. It was appropriate that the people had every right to hate him." Yazid realized the meaning behind the advice of his father Muawiyah, who had warned, "The people of Iraq shall not leave al-Hussein till they pressure him to revolt. If he rebels against you, forgive him, for he was begotten in sacred wombs and he enjoys a lofty status." Now that the blood of Imam Hussein was on his hands, there would be continuous unrest and opposition against Yazid and the Umayyads. Yazid ordered the captives to be released, but it was now too late to make amends. Yazid had permanently stained his reputation. Furthermore, Yazid had miscalculated the influence of some of the remaining members of the Prophet's household, like Imam Sajjad, and particularly Zainab al-Kubra, who was the daughter of Imam Ali and the sister of Imam Hussein. After openly confronting Yazid in front of his court, she continued to propagate and inform the masses of what had occurred in Karbala at the hands of Yazid and Ibn Ziyad. She also publicly condemned the people of Kufa for their betrayal of Imam Hussein and eloquently informed many about the calamity. The tragic events of Karbala and the brutality of Yazid's actions sent ripples throughout the Muslim lands, which reverberate even until today. Muslims were outraged at the heartless massacre of Imam Hussein and his family. After Hussein's martyrdom at Karbala, Ibn Zubayr's influence reached Medina and Kufa. Ibn Zubayr started secretly taking oaths of allegiance in Mecca. Upon hearing of this, Yazid sent a silver chain to Ibn Zubayr with the intention of pacifying him, but it was refused. Yazid then sent a force led by Ibn Zubayr's own brother, Amr, who was at odds with Ibn Zubayr, to arrest him. This force was defeated and Amr was killed. Yazid invited notables of the city of Damascus and tried to win them over with gifts and presents. The notables were unpersuaded and on their return to Medina narrated tales of his lavish lifestyle. In this regard, Ibn Kathir expounds, "When they returned to Medina, they made public their grave findings pertaining to Yazid's perversities. They said, 'We are returning from that person who is irreligious, who is a wine-bibber, and who is surrounded by singing girls entertaining him with music.'" He also writes about the comments made by the heads of this delegation, namely that Yazid consumes so much intoxicants that he misses prayers. Tabari puts it in this way: "Upon returning to Medina, the group reproached Yazid among themselves, cursed him, and said, 'We come back from someone who does not have faith, drinks wine, plays lute, and the maids sing for him. He plays with dogs and keeps company with the mean people and the slaves. Bear witness that we vow to dethrone him.'" The people of Medina renounced their allegiance to Yazid upon hearing these details and expelled the governor and all Umayyads residing in the city. Fakhri states, "People were disturbed by the Umayyads, especially by Yazid for committing many forbidden and sinful acts and being notorious for vices and iniquities." History also indicates that the main reason the Muslims were willing to rise against Yazid was his clear apostasy and lack of faith. It is reported, the cause of the people of Medina's revolt against Yazid was his weakness of faith. It had become all too clear to the people that the Khalif was a disbeliever. Mas'udi puts it in this way: "When tyrannies of Yazid and his functionaries began to mount up, his debaucheries became disgracefully manifest. He killed the grandson of the Holy Prophet and his companions, went on drinking sprees, and took on pharaoh-like manners, even worse than the pharaoh, in his injustice to the high and low. Thereof, it so happened that the people of Medina expelled his governor, Uthman ibn Muhammad ibn Abu Sufyan, together with Marwan ibn Hakam and other members of the Umayyad clan. Nu'man ibn Bashir Ansari was sent to Medina to try and suppress the people of Medina, but they responded, 'Yazid is not a Muslim because he drinks wine day and night. He does not offer obligatory prayers. He practices debauchery and he deems as permissible shedding the blood of the descendants of the Prophet. And you know that no other Khalif has done what Yazid has been doing. He does not deserve to be the leader of the Muslim community.'" Furious to hear about this, Yazid said, "I swear to God that I will dispatch a massive army over them and trample them under the horses' hooves." The Battle of Hara. Yazid ordered the government's officials, as well as the ordinary people, to be encouraged to participate in this conflict, offering 100 dinars to anyone who would fight. 12,000 individuals gathered. Yazid announced to the army, "Invite the people of Medina 3 times. If they accept, it is better. But if they do not, in case you triumph over them, massacre them for 3 days. Whatever there might be in that city, including properties, human beings, animals, and weapons, would be lawful for the troops. Do not prevent the people of Syria from doing what they want to do with their enemy. When the 3 days period is over, cease the massacre and plunder, and ask the people to swear allegiance to be Yazid's slaves. When you are done with Medina, move towards Mecca." Thus, Yazid sent an army of 12,000 men under the command of Muslim ibn Uqba to reconquer Hijaz. Ibn Uqba approached Medina and gave the people of Medina 3 days to reconsider, but was refused. When the ultimatum ended, a battle started in which the people of Medina were defeated. Just as Yazid had advised, Muslim ibn Uqba announced to the troops, "Your hands are open, do whatever you wish. Plunder Medina for 3 days. So it was that the holy city of Medina was plundered. Men, women, and children were massacred, their properties stolen, and their homes invaded. The chastity of women were violated in great numbers for 3 days under the orders of Yazid I. It is reported that thousands of women were assaulted in the invasions of the Syrians, and months after the Battle of Hara, thousands of babies were born whose fathers were unknown, hence were named Children of Hara. This occurred in the holy city of the Prophet, a city which was the home to the Muhajirun and Ansar, the companions who had migrated with the Prophet and those who had helped the Prophet in the initial days of Islam. Reports indicate that the streets of Medina filled with the bodies of the killed. Bloodstains covered the way up to the Prophet's mosque. Children were killed in the mothers' laps, and the old companions of the Apostle of Allah were persecuted and disgraced. During these 3 days, the enmity of Yazid and the Umayyads towards the Prophet and Islam became all the more evident and clear. It is reported that the mosque of the Prophet was empty during the 3 days of plunder, and that Yazid's horsemen tied their horses to the pillars inside the mosque. Only animals entered the mosque of the Prophet and urinated and defecated on the pulpit, where the Holy Prophet himself had delivered sermons. It is reported that the famous companion of the Prophet said, "By God, for 3 days, when Syrians were busy in plundering, we didn't hear any call for prayers, adhan, in Medina, except from the grave of the Prophet." It is reported that Yazid proceeded to execute many notable figures thereafter, including prominent companions of the Holy Prophet, until the people of Medina were forced to submit to Yazid. This event took place in 63 AH. Thereafter, the Syrian army headed for Mecca to subdue Ibn Zubayr, attacking the Kaaba. Ibn Uqba died on the way to Mecca, and command passed to Husayn ibn Numayr al-Sakuni, who laid siege to Mecca in September 683. The siege lasted for several weeks, during which the Kaaba caught fire. It is reported that Yazid's army massacred many people and demolished the Kaaba. It is reported that he demolished the 4 walls of the Kaaba, and that he pelted al-Kaaba with stones through the use of catapults and attacked it even with fireballs till its walls were set ablaze. Ibn al-Imad al-Hanbali says that so much fire was used that the entire building of the Kaaba collapsed. The death of a tyrant. Yazid's sudden death in November 683 ended the campaign and threw the caliphate into disarray and civil war. It is reported that Yazid died only after ruling a mere 3 or 4 years. Ibn Zubayr declared himself as caliph, and Iraq and Egypt came under his rule. Al-Jahiz has said, "The abominations committed by Yazid, such as killing of Al-Husayn, his transporting the daughters of the Messenger of Allah as captives, his hitting Al-Husayn's lips with his stick, his terrorizing the people of Medina, his demolishing of the Kaaba, all point out to his cruelty, oppression, and his being a Nasibi, to his error of judgment, to his grudge, animosity, and hypocrisy, to his altogether renunciation of Iman, faith. Every apostate is cursed, and everyone who prohibits anyone from cursing an already condemned person is himself worthy of being cursed." The legacy of Yazid. Despite all the blatant atrocities committed by Yazid and his open apostasy, there are individuals even today who say, "May Allah be pleased with him," after mentioning the name of Yazid. Personalities like Ibn Taymiyyah attempt to justify Yazid's tyranny, some citing that Yazid was remorseful for what he had done, and others attempting to prove that Yazid did not give the order for murdering the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Such individuals who attempt to justify Yazid are part and parcel of the Takfiri Wahhabi ideology belonging to modern-day Saudi Arabia, which, similar to the Caliphate of Yazid, is a hereditary monarchical dictatorship today. In order to legitimize their own existence, the Saudi regime must justify Yazid and the Umayyads Caliphate. They do this through such muftis as Ibn Taymiyyah, who try to paint Yazid in a positive light. But all of their arguments fall short of justification, and all of their claims have been refuted by the mainstream Sunni and Shia scholars. The Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia stated that the allegiance to Yazid was legitimate and obligatory. Hussein and Ibn Zubayr refused to pay homage to Yazid. Whoever is paid homage to and whoever is accepted unanimously, it is obligatory upon all to obey and submit to him, and it is forbidden to challenge him. The Saudis must reinforce this ideology in order to make the masses submit to the hereditary monarchy of the Saudi regime and not challenge it. But the reality is that Yazid's actions were utterly unjustifiable. Abdul Falah Abdul Hay ibn al-Imad, an eminent Hanbali scholar, notes that Yazid was hateful of Imam Ali, arrogant, insolent, wine-bibber, and sinful. He initiated his kingship by murdering Hussein, and he sealed it with the incident of Hara. People hated him, and he was not graced with a long life. Ironically, Yazid was denounced even by his own son, Muawiyah II, who abandoned the position of rulership. Muawiyah II went onto the pulpit, praised Allah, and said, "Be informed that my grandfather Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan had quarreled and disputed about the caliphate with a person who was more deserving and worthy of it." He then mentioned his father, Yazid, and all his evil deeds, and that he did not have the qualities befitting a caliph of Muhammad's community. He then described his father's atrocities committed against the progeny of the Messenger of Allah. It is also reported that this son of Yazid said, "He, Yazid, killed and disregarded the honor of the Holy Prophet's progeny with impunity and set the Kaaba on fire." Thus ended the legacy of Yazid I.